Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. Green Bay Packers continue to prepare for their showdown with their division rival Minnesota Vikings coming into Lambeau Field on Sunday, noon kickoff. And will Jordan Love play? We do not know, though we do know that he participated in practice today, albeit on a limited basis. In fact, 52 of the 53-man roster were out there in some capacity practicing their Reinicke Field. However, Jordan Morgan continues to sit out dealing with that shoulder injury, but still not placed on injured reserve, so maybe he'll be back sooner rather than later. On the Vikings side of things, an interesting development with Darisaw, their premier left tackle, who they just paid big money, missing to practice today with an illness. Clearly sick at the thought of having to face Preston Smith again, who absolutely owned him in their building back on New Year's Eve. So clearly indigestion, the thought of, oh God, here comes Preston Smith again. I'm going to vomit. Couldn't practice. I kid. Speaking of the Vikings, I'll be dropping a video a little bit later today with Matthew Collar over there at Purple Insider. He and I had a lovely chat talking about this game, the matchup, the two teams, the franchises, etc. Really highly encourage you to check that out. Like I said, it'll be here on the channel a little later. A lot of fun. Matthew's a great guy. I've talked to him a bunch over the years. He is very fair in how he assesses not just the Vikings, but the Vikings versus the Packers and the Packers as a team and as a franchise. Really appreciate his insights on the Minnesota Vikings each and every time we speak. Hello to everybody in the comments. Hope you're doing well. Before we get going, let's say hello and shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. That's right, Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV to receive a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. If you want to just join in the fun, you can sign up at the link in the description of this video. Make it nice and easy for you. Remember, CHTV is the code you want to use. I have CeeDee Lamb for over, I believe it's 83 yards tonight. I'm sure that'll be wrong because I have selected it, but excited to get going with some NFL picks throughout this season. Download the app. Have some fun. Make fun of my picks. Make your own picks. Corey will be making fun of me on Watch Party each and every week. I am certain of that. Before I get going, I did want to talk a little bit about Jaire Alexander and Justin Jefferson, who are always must-see TV. Clearly, under Joe Barry, we very rarely, except for one instance in Lambeau Field a couple years ago, got to see that mano-a-mano kind of heavyweight card matchup between two of the greats in the league. We've been robbed of that, both because of Barry's scheme, but also because of injury. Jefferson didn't play last year in Lambeau Field. And then, obviously, he was dealing with a bunch of substandard quarterback play there on New Year's Eve. But this week, hopefully, we get to see a little bit more of it, although Jaire Alexander has been limited in practice as well this week. So God knows how that ends up playing out. But I think we will see a little bit more, provided Jaire is able to go, of, you know, Jaire never really one-on-one with Justin Jefferson. It's always going to be within a scheme, within a coverage unit, right, or a coverage call. I think we'll see a little bit more, you know, at least two-man type concepts where he does have a safety over the top. I do not doubt for a moment we'll see a rolling kind of mesh of coverages, a lot of different looks to try and keep Darnold guessing. Can't always come out and play man and or, you know, even two-man or cover three or what have you. It's never going to be a predominance of any single coverage. But I do think we're going to get a bit more Jaire versus Jefferson in this game than we have been used to in the recent past. And hey, that is always good television. Justin has certainly had his moments and certainly taken advantage of Jaire at times. And I think Jaire has given as well as he's gotten over the last couple of contests that they've gone out there and had to throw down. So I'm just excited. I hope we see, like I said, a little bit more than we have in the past. And I fully expect Jaire to be, you know, pumped for the matchup. No question about it. But I do sense a bit of, I don't know, I'm going to say maturity, but a bit more of a calmness with Jair this year, where obviously a lot going on behind the scenes last season, culminating in his suspension for one game, and really seemed to get outside of himself at times last season. But he certainly feels dialed in this year, and I do greatly anticipate watching these two guys battle it out. And, you know, obviously it's in the confines of an offensive system, a defensive call. No one's saying it's like that's going to decide the game or anything like that. But it is a key component. There is zero doubt about that. And again, it always makes good television. And I'm excited to plop down here with all of you on the watch party on Sunday and watch it unfold. What's going on, chat? How we doing? Got some super chats already up in here. What's up, Mimsy? Malik is already Gatto tier, another W, and he's Green Bay Hall of Fame. I mean, okay, if he were to start on Sunday, right, let's say they win that game and then Jordan's back for the Rams game and they go on and do something special this year. Yeah, obviously we all hope it's win the Super Bowl, but even if they make some kind of deep run, right? Yeah, I don't know if it's Green Bay Hall of Fame, but he certainly etched his name into the memory of every Packers fan who will remember how he kept the team afloat while the starter was hurt, because we certainly have not seen that unfold more often than not in Green Bay when the starter has gone down. Oh, we got sirens in the background. Welcome to New York City. Hope you're all doing well. Portmaster, thanks, man. You think even if Love plays, we just hammer the shit out of them with the run? Yes. I talked to Matthew about this in our preview video. Like I said, make sure you watch out for that later today. But yeah, absolutely. I think there's no difference in approach to what we saw versus Tennessee and what we're going to see against the Vikings, especially because they have been insanely effective on passing downs to the point where they've kept guys, quarterbacks and offenses behind the sticks to such a degree where Flores is blitzing on 60% of his second down calls. That's absolute insanity. That's living on another planet. Now, he can do that because they've been ahead for the majority of the time they've been playing football this year. And I'm not saying it's going to stop. I think he is a bit kind of, you know, wants to press his luck as far as sending pressure, and he's going to try and create turnover plays and things of that nature. That's in his DNA. But the way you can mitigate some of that and the way you can make sure you never get into those situations where it's third and nine plus, et cetera, run the ball, stay ahead of the sticks, pound the rock, if you will. In other words, you should buy the t-shirt that says run the fucking ball. Because this is another week where that is 100% apt and will get the Vikings in a place they don't want to live. They want you to be in passing situations so they can unleash their insane coverage stuff. Although I will say, it is funny to watch all this stuff being kind of like, all this content being created this week about all the mad, crazy stuff Flores is doing. He tried a lot of that on New Year's Eve last year, and Jordan Love tore it apart. I'm just saying. Peter, this is an excellent question. Why has Sam Darnold been so good? He's playing on time. And I think a big part of it is, yes, been playing with a lead, but he's been good under pressure. He's known where to go with the football. I think the scheme is helping him, but I do think he has calmed his mind a little bit. I think there's no panic from what I've seen through three games. And I do think, obviously, the scheme has helped. The coaching has helped. You've seen that somewhat across the league. You talk about reclamation projects, whether it's Geno Smith a couple years ago and, again, starting off well this year. Baker Mayfield, given up on by two different franchises, really balling out down there in Tampa. It just seems to be that thing in the league where, I think I talked about this earlier this week, maybe on Care of the G Radio, about kind of a sea change at quarterback. We've watched a lot of greats retire over the course of the last decade. Aaron Rodgers is kind of the last one from that era. You know, he's in the twilight of his career, right? But we've watched Brady, the Mannings, Roethlisberger, Breeze. We've watched all these quarterback greats, you know, come and go now. They've reached the end of their careers, and the league is at a bit of a sea change. So we've got a bunch of guys who have played a lot of ball, all these, quote, reclamation projects, who have been in the league for a long time, know the nuts and bolts of the league and defenses and what they're looking at, who finally are finding not just a place where they can kind of maybe be a backup for a bit, but some of these young coaches who can come in and give them an offense that takes advantage of not only their knowledge, but their skill set. So, you know, it's a long-winded way of saying, I do think he has certainly matured. The scheme is certainly helping him. But man, Kevin O'Connell stressing his getting the ball out on time, in rhythm. It's kind of what we heard from Matt LaFleur back kind of 2-3 years ago regarding Jordan Love, needing to let it rip at the top of your drop. Hit the top of your drop. If it's there, great. Not, get on to the next read in your progression. If not, hit your check down, live to fight another day. He's done a really good job of that. A really good job. Now, I do think having Aaron Jones has certainly helped him. They've been able to run the ball, and Aaron Jones has been really effective helping them stay ahead of the sticks and helping their young quarterback, or not so young anymore, their quarterback, not have to overcome third and nines, third and 15s, things of that nature. That has certainly helped. And again, playing with a lead has helped as well. Soder, thanks for the super chat, man. Appreciate you. Stupid change of plans. I am now going full REO Speedwagon, riding the storm out in Tally. Oh, dude. You are all great. Go, Pack, go. Beat the ever-living hell out of the Vikings with some luck. I will be in Central Florida for the game. Soder, stay safe. Everybody in the path of this thing, stay safe. It looks brutal. It's really kind of, it looks like it's picking up steam. Obviously, I am not a meteorologist. This is just me talking ball and hoping Packers fans stay safe. Soder, love you, brother. Stay safe. Jeezy, baby. What's going on, man? Been watching Matt LaFleur's pressers, and it seems he is short when answering questions about injuries. Start calling him Mr. Limited. I think he's finally reached a point where he knows he doesn't have to give it up. Like, I think in the past, he probably felt obligated. Young coach, first gig. But now he knows. There's nothing that requires him to say anything outside of what the injury report states. I'd be the exact same way. You know, I know people get frustrated about the limited thing, but that's all he is required to say. You do not have to get into specifics about the injury, certainly not about playtime, what guys do at practice. None of that is required of him. Why would he say anything about any of it? I mean, in his corner on this one. Aaron, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you. What's your opinion on Narveson? Excuse me, Aaron. The name is Narv Puppy. That is according to one Corey Banky. You're not allowed to call him Narv Dog. It is Narv Puppy. Until further notice. Do you see him as a good long-term prospect, or was his signing just to get someone else in the building? No, I think they did see potential there. They did talk about how they scouted him coming out. I do think there's a reason they made, you know, the move. I think there's a potential for him to figure things out and become a long-term answer. I think that's what the season is all about. Got to let it play out. But I do think the potential is there. No doubt about it. Bisaccia was just speaking, actually, right before I went live, and he talked about the fact that, yes, he missed that one in Tennessee, and you hate to see it, but he did come back and nail a 48-yarder. Yeah, that's something maybe you don't see from Carlson or other young kickers. We'll see how this transpires over the next month or so, but I will say there's two aspects here. One, you can't be missing a kick every week. Like, if that continues, then I got to think they'll start looking elsewhere. And two, none of this really means much until the weather turns, because that's the key to kicking long-term in Green Bay. You have got to be, and I cannot stress, underline, italicize any more than possible. You've got to be consistent in bad weather. That is part of the gig. And that's, I remember Aaron Rodgers talking about why Mason Crosby was like the perfect slash best kicker for Green Bay, is because he was so good and so consistent in the elements. So while he's figuring stuff out now, no doubt, got to be patient. Hope he does, but that's only one part of the equation. He has got to show consistency in bad weather, in the cold, when it turns, Green Bay, December, got to make those kicks. That's a different gig than having a kick in a dome or somewhere where it's like 80 degrees until Christmas. Different world. Matthew, thanks for the super chat, man. McKinney and Bullard are such an upgrade at safety. The difference from last year is night and day. Unrelated to Packers, Chelsea look impressive so far. How about those Blues? I'm so excited by Chelsea this season. Oh, my gosh. And it's interesting to watch all these kind of young talents start to come to fruition with the Blues. I mean, I'm so excited. Now, I still think they can't play, you know, real defense worth a lick, though I know they're coming off a clean sheet. Yeah, I'm very excited for Chelsea. As far as, yeah, the safety play, I mean, just an outstanding job from Brian and the personnel group overhauling the position. I did make a video this offseason. I remember early spring prior to free agency starting saying, you know, the safety group needs an overhaul again. It's not the first time they've had to do this. And hopefully this time they've found some long-term answers. What's crazy to me is they are playing as well as they are at that spot. And Evan Williams has barely been able to get on the field, and he's really good. So, yeah. Now, the next reclamation project, probably this next offseason, probably linebacker. Need some upgrades there. Nicholas, how are you, man? How much draft capital would you demand for the Titans to get Malik back? Bidding starts at a first-round pick. Come on. He just tore you guys apart in your own building, completely embarrassed your organization. I think that's worth a first. I kid. Although, I would absolutely howl with laughter if they made the call. I mean, I'd give him back to them for like a third if they even like swallow their pride enough to make the call. Clay, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Do you think Christian Watson is utilized more this game? He had 2 targets last week, and even with Love under center week 1, he had 5. Random Packer, Vonnie Holiday. Yes, I do believe there's a decent chance he starts to see more and more targets as they continue to run the football. I think that's a big key because eventually teams have to commit numbers and that opens things up. Although I will say it's fascinating to see his 2 big catches this past week were on third. Like one was third and short, but he took long, and one was a third and long that, let's be honest, yes, it's a big completion, but if the corner doesn't slip, I'm not so sure that's a completion. Now, that said, that's not on Christian, right? He made the play that was there to be made. I do think, yeah, we'll see him get involved more as the season goes on, and teams have to stop that run because that is buttering the bread in Green Bay at the moment, and I don't think it's going to change much once Jordan Love is under center. Abdul, what's up, man? Hey, Aaron, do you think Lloyd is better than Wilson? It's better than Wilson. You mean Marshawn Lloyd? Better than Emmanuel Wilson? Not at the moment. Now, he's hurt at the moment. Could he be eventually? Oh, hell yes. I think his athletic upside is undeniable in comparison. Now, you know, there's a reason that Emmanuel Wilson went undrafted and has, you know, had to work towards getting significant time in the NFL. But he's a good player. He's a good runner. I'm not taking anything away from him. But Marshawn has the potential to be, hell, even I'll say it, special. He does. That doesn't mean it happens automatically. He's got to do the work. But if you're asking me right now, today, September, what is it, 26 at 5:18 Eastern, no, Wilson's better. But he's also available, so that's part of it. Ed, what's up, man? Hope Aaron Jones has the best game of his life a week from Sunday. Perfectly stated, Ed. I could not agree more. Well stated. Natalie, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. I clipped you roasting me and sent it to my family. They loved it. Haha, D is amazing. Go Pack. Natalie, I appreciate you being a good sport about it. I was probably a little overzealous on Sunday, but you got to understand the fact that you super chatted it was amazing. But, you know, Corey and I were talking about this on transplants and even off the air. It's like after a while, when you're doing these live watch parties, right? You can set your watch by the fact that the first quarter will occur and the defense will give up a third down, maybe a touchdown, and everyone will talk about how terrible the defense is and the coordinator needs to be fired and all these guys need to be cut and all this stuff. And it's like, does everyone just have collective amnesia as a Packers fan? Like, just because something happens in the first drive doesn't mean it's going to continue to do that all game long. Now, certainly we have seen that on occasion. But it was just kind of, it wasn't really directed at you. It was just kind of the repeated drubbings in the first quarter from commenters talking about how awful the defense is. Then eventually the defense makes a play. And on Sunday, they made a bunch of them after that first drive. So I appreciate you, Natalie. I really do. Thank you so much. Cheeto, what's going on, man? Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war. Halfley, probably. I mean, that was the title of one of these daily chats earlier this week, right? That's what he seemed to do in Tennessee. I hope he continues to do it against an unsuspecting and unprepared Sam Darnold on Sunday. Brett says, NFL defenses do not want to commit to stopping the run for 4 quarters, especially in the second half. They are built to make their hay defending the pass and getting after the QB. You could not be more correct. That is 100% right. And it is interesting to see kind of the firestorm that Mel Kiper set off when he talked about the 2 high safeties should be outlawed, which of course is ridiculous. And he knows it's ridiculous. They're getting the engagement they want. But it is funny to watch all the responses, especially from all the old heads saying, you know, there's a cure for that. You got to run the ball. And it's like, teams don't care. Like eventually you're going to make a mistake. You're going to have a holding penalty, or hell, this year you're going to have a illegal procedure or illegal formation penalty. And then you're going to be behind the sticks, and then they're eating. You're right where they want you. Like, if you're running the ball, look no further. I mean, there's a perfect test case here. Look no further than the week two game against the Colts. Packers ran the shit out of the ball, and they didn't score a ton of points. And I know Jacobs fumbled. I get it. But you throw to score. You run to win. You want to throw and get ahead and get a lead, and then you can unleash your pass rush the way the Packers did last week on Will Levis. You throw to score. You notice how the Packers started throwing a bit more last week? They scored more points. You throw to score. You run to win. The defenses are set up to not care about the run. Yeah, you can rip off a few nice runs. That's great. It gives you a couple first downs. Hope your kicker makes it. Hope you don't have a holding penalty. Hope you're able to overcome every single third down along the way for 10, 12, 15 plays. And then if you do that one time, good luck doing it again and again and again throughout a game, because more often than not, you're not going to be able to. That's just life in the league. So you're absolutely correct. Teams want you to run the ball, and they are fine allowing you to run the ball without committing numbers to it. Abdul, what's up, man? Why do you think the league is making such a big deal about illegal formation? I can't create a big play because a third of the time there's a flag. I'm glad you asked this question, because it is driving me fucking insane, man. I don't know. It's like every single offseason, the competition committee gets together and they come up with a rule emphasis, something that's on the books already, and they say, hey, you got to call this more. I'm hoping this goes the way of most of these things, where the first month it gets called a lot, and then as the season goes on, it kind of filters away, or, you know, they stop really emphasizing it. Because I'm with you, man. It's ridiculous now. The worst part about it is it almost always is absolutely completely negligible in the outcome of the play. Like, oh, he was offset the line of scrimmage by about another inch or two more than he should be. And then they toss right away from the guy who gets the penalty called on him. He goes up the right sideline for 25 yards. Big play. Everyone's excited. Oh, wait, there's a flag. There was a minuscule infraction prior to the snap of the ball. Now we can bring it back. And now the offense is behind the sticks. It's like, what are we doing? No one's tuning in for that. No one gives a shit that this guy was a couple inches off the line of scrimmage in a way that did not materially affect the play at all. Yet now here we all are having to watch them redo that down. Now they're, you know, 5 yards, 10 yards back. It's garbage. It is absolute garbage. And it continues to be fucking off-season bullshit where they have to create a solution to a problem that does not exist. Drives me insane. Absolutely insane. All right, everybody, I'm gonna have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.